Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
You are now listening to The Awakened Soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 27 of The Awakened Soul. Got a special one. I kind of announced it last week. This episode is going to be about colorism in the African-American community and how we treat each other. I think it's a completely deep and great topic. It's one that, like I said, I've been wanting to talk about for a while. I love the panel that came together. We got Johnny and Ralph, which you guys know them by now. They're my brothers from the Oversaturated podcast. We also have AJ, who's been on once before from the What We Gonna Do podcast. Then we also have Bree. The lone woman holding this panel down. We had more scheduled, but unfortunately, you guys know how we can be. They canceled on us, but no shade there at all. I'm sure the other ladies who were supposed to come on and help with this panel will come on in a different topic. I think I have something I can use them on a little bit later, but nonetheless, I'm happy to have you guys, happy to be able to talk this topic. We're going to go ahead and get into our intro music. On the other side of the intro music is going to be Off the Root with Hayes. I'm just going to go off a few topics, and then after that is going to be the meat and potatoes of this episode, and that is the segment on colorism. Check me out.
The awakened soul.
All right, so in trying to come up with topics this week for Off the Root with Hayes, I had to sit back and think about what did I really want to talk about. What were the things that were burning most in CEO Hayes's head to talk to you guys about? And the first thing is that I do want to announce my Chicago Bulls are on a 4-game winning streak. Let's just let that sit in. They're on a 4-game winning streak. It's still going to be terrible the rest of the season. I don't expect it to go much longer, but I do want to definitely acknowledge when my team is being on top. Chris Dunn has been looking like the starting point guard that we wanted him to be. Lauri Markkanen still, he's playing solidly. His 3-point percentage has dropped down a little bit, but Nico Mirotic, who's come back, and just been killing it as well. I just you know, give some praise to my team. I was on here sounding depressed at the beginning of the season, so I definitely want to acknowledge a little bit of time while I'm feeling myself a little bit, feeling my team. But also to come off that, this is Star Wars week, which is like a holiday for nerds. The new Star Wars movie comes out just in 24 hours. I could see it. But I won't be, unfortunately, not that soon, but I'll be seeing it. By the time you guys hear this, I hopefully would have been saw it by now, but, you know, we'll see how that goes. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. As I said last week, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and now that me and my daughter share the love of Star Wars, it's becoming a family thing again. So yeah, that's another thing that's burning in CEO Hayes's mind. Football season, the playoffs are almost here. Haven't watched nearly as much football as I wanted to this season. But, you know, everybody gets excited around playoff time, so I'll definitely be catching those. Shouts out to we're going to try to get an all-Pennsylvania Super Bowl. We're going to get Steelers versus the Eagles. I know Wentz went down, But we're not going to worry about that. It's still going to happen. We're going to speak into the existence. Anything that can keep the Patriots out the Super Bowl again. Shouts out to Ralph from Oversaturated because he's a huge Patriots fan. But we got Patriots hate over here all day long. Yeah, so take that, Ralph. anything else that's on CEO Hayes' mind? I'm still highly disappointed by this Eminem album. But that review is coming shortly, and I just hate it. Nonetheless, I'm not going to digress. Listen to Dave East. That project's just dope. Enough of me rambling. You know, I just like to set you guys up before we get into the actual meat and potatoes of the episode. Like I said at the intro, we got Ralph, Johnny, Bree, AJ. So it's a dope panel, dope discussion. Be prepared to hear a lot of things, and maybe in the midst of that, you can really hear some things and apply them to your life and see, have you been either a victim or have you caused some colorism? And you know, this, it's all growth in this. And you know, I admitted a couple of stories myself in which I noticed that I have had some instances of colorism. So everyone be open and honest when you hear this discussion, and you know, this is how we're going to push things forward. I hope everyone likes it and enjoys it. We're going to go ahead and get into some music to get into that segment. On the other side of that, you will hear the colorism segment with me and everyone else. So thank you again for listening. I hope you guys enjoy.
Yo, skin so in, not talking trendy though. Talking way, way back in the beginning though. Before BC, way before Cain and Abel. Man's first addiction, that sweet maple. Came with no labels, way before cable. All we watched was you, all we ever knew. See that forbidden fruit, I would have bit it too. The way your body curve, I wanna take a swerve. On the corner, honey, having molasses lane. I pull up chance of rain, shower you with things. Protector, your sector, I wanna be your king. You nourish the world with beings when seen. You see a dripping melanin. Oh God.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got an episode that I've been excited to bring to you. We've got a panel here, a pretty dope panel of people who I all know personally, and this is going to be a dope conversation about colorism. But before we get into the topic itself, let me introduce the panel. First, we got the boys from Oversaturated, my brothers. You guys know them very well. They've been on the podcast a few times. We got Johnny and Ralph. Fellas, how you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Thank you for having us on, man.
Yeah, definitely, man. We out here.
Anytime. Then we got AJ from What We Gonna Do. This is the second time on the podcast. What's going on, AJ?
What's up, man? Glad to be here. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, this one's going to get deep. And then we got someone who's breaking their podcast cherry. Coming straight out of Philly, Miss Breezy Bree. What's going on?
What's up?
By the way, your Eagles suck. So we're just gonna keep that.
Let's not look. That's a conversation for another day. Let's continue with what we came here for, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. But we are here to discuss colorism, how it affects our community, our culture. It's a conversation, like I said, I've been waiting to have for a while. Before we get into the actual topics and the discussion, I want to define colorism. And colorism is defined as the system of privilege and discrimination based on the degree of lightness in the color of a person's skin. When you guys hear that word colorism, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Ladies first, Bri, I'm going to come to you.
First thing that comes to mind for me is racism. Like, I it's probably not the same thing, but I don't know. I feel like it's along the same lines because you're discriminating against another person of color at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a form of internal racism. Ralph, what do you think when you hear that word?
Immediately, I go to just a preferred treatment over, you know, somebody being treated better because of their skin pigmentation. Absolutely. That's immediately where I go to.
AJ?
Man, light skin versus dark skin. That's the first thing that came up for me.
that was gonna be my answer, actually.
Word or somebody talk about it, I immediately go. So what are we talking about? Light skin versus dark skin? That's it.
So I mean, and you know, we are all different shades here on this podcast, which is good. So I mean, the first question, this is still before we get into the topics, is have you guys ever feel like you experienced colorism? Johnny, you being the blackest person on the panel, we'll come to you first on this one.
Hey, This is a fact.
Yo.
And I embrace my color. I've been this color my entire life and I love it. So 100% I have witnessed that. I work in a corporate setting and like the current job I'm at now, I've been there for a year now, and like still to this day, when I walk down the hall, everybody looks at me like I'm crazy. I'm the only black male on my floor. Anytime I'm walking down the hall, like trying to go to the bathroom, anything, like people go out of their way not to make eye contact with me. And this isn't the first place I've worked where this has happened. So yeah, I experienced all the time. I mean, and I've gotten to a point clearly where I don't care anymore, but it's definitely something I experience on a daily basis.
Wow.
Hold up.
Wow.
I got followers for Johnny. Johnny, do you think like you're intimidating? Do you feel like you come off that way or something?
Listen, man, I have no idea. Like, I smile. I say hi to people. It's still nothing. So I don't really care anymore, honestly. I do my work. I go to work. I put my headphones on. I talk to my teammates if I have to about something. I put my headphones back on. Then I go home. that's really it.
I feel that. What about you, Ralph?
Oh, man. I definitely think I encountered that. And I'm talking about from other black people, not even just white people. Like, now, I know AJ can attest to this. You know, you have a size on you. So when you're dark skinned and you have size on you, they tend to look at you a little different.
Wait a second.
Like,
are you trying to discriminate between me and Johnny because you're short? Is that what you're doing right now?
No. I didn't say short.
But you know what's crazy?
It's crazy because
still fat without being fat.
My man's been working out. Hey, recognize.
We see that IG live. He be in there hitting it hard with his gallon of water. I see you, but continue. I'm sorry.
Well, when you're a larger guy and you're dark skinned, you're never given a teddy bear role, if that's what I'm truly am. Like I'm always looked at as being like kind of villainous almost. So I find myself kind of overcompensating sometimes. Like I have to talk and be very, you know, nice when I'm talking, like even if I'm not in the best of moods. I'm not allowed to be angry. Like I can't do that.
I feel that. That's real. That's real. Bree, I'm coming to you next as the only woman on the panel. Have you witnessed, experienced colorism at all?
Oh, definitely. And it's even worse because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm looked at as in a retail setting, which is where a lot of my work experience came from. I was looked at as being the pretty face, that I could do things and get things out of other people because of the way that I look. And they thought that was a plus. But for me, it was uncomfortable, obviously. Like, I'm not going to throw myself at you to get you to buy a suit. Like, that's not how I work. Very professional. And right now I work in a professional setting. But there's like 5 black people that work there. So I don't necessarily see it being done in that setting for me. But I did see it more in my retail experience because I was around a lot of different people. I grew up in the suburbs, you know, went to an all white school, middle school and high school. So, and then went to St. Joseph's University, which is a Catholic private school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm around a lot of white people or a lot of people, you know, different origins and different backgrounds and things like that. But I was always the token. I was always that one black girl or that one black person in this class or in this group of people or in this office. So when I see other black people, I'm like, oh, shit. Hey, like, what's up? But, you know, sometimes it can't be like that.
Yeah.
But it's definitely real. And I think it's even worse for women, depending on the setting that you're in.
Completely agree with that. AJ, what about you, man?
Yeah, man. Listen. So I want to go to like primary school or something like that, you know, so junior high school, elementary. I mean, I consider myself a brown skinned guy. So light skinned niggas always been in. Them niggas ain't never really go out of style. Dark skinned niggas was in style in the 90s. So you know how that went. And dark-skinned niggas, just like an old boy that was on Girls Trip and he been in the other little movies, all the girls is hype about Kofi or whatever the dude's name is.
That's a sexy man, okay?
See what I'm saying?
Exactly. So, exhibit A.
So you got light skinned niggas and dark skinned niggas. I'm brown skinned. So I think about it more so like high school, because you got the light skinned dudes with the pretty eyes, and then you got the dark skinned, like thug, fake, whatever. A lot of them was fake thug niggas that I grew up with or whatever. So I was just kind of in the middle, and I kind of had to find my place. You know, I had pretty eyes. If I looked up at the sun and you caught me at a certain angle, it wasn't just like everybody else's eyes. You know what I'm saying? I got brown eyes and I'm brown skinned. So I would say that's my biggest experience, was really just high school and dealing with girls and relationships and the different guys they would choose.
That's hilarious.
Wow. Oh, you're good. And that is an appearance by Riley, who is Bree's daughter, who is really the star of this podcast today. But yeah, so I mean, as far as like me answering that question, have I ever experienced colorism? I think it's a little bit different for me. I think, as everyone on this panel knows, my dad's white. So I experienced it on a whole different level as far as like colorism, because like once people found out that my dad was white, I definitely felt like I was treated different amongst like in school, especially in high school, because I was an athlete as well. And like once my dad showed up to games and he kind of introduced himself to teachers and coaches and stuff, I definitely feel like there was a little bit of a difference in the way that I was treated personally. But that also applies to within our own race, not even taking how if white people treated me better or not. Like once, like where I grew up, like once they found out like my dad was white, it was almost like I wasn't black anymore at some point, especially if I shared a difference of opinion that was what was typically the African-American opinion. It was like, oh yeah, that's why you feel that way, because you're not black anyway. Like, what, nigga, look at me, I'm black.
Wow.
But no, I mean, real talk, I think I have a different perspective on it, and that's why I'm definitely interested in getting into this conversation. Let's start at the root. That is, you know, is colorism something that's been ingrained in us since slavery? I mean, we clearly, everyone on this panel is very well educated, and I think we all know the whole stigma of the house nigga, and the fact that when slaves were raped and they produced mixed children, how those children were treated a little bit better than the slaves. So I want to come to you guys on that. Do you think that that's where the root in this, and have we carried this through generations to where we still have that issue amongst people of fair skin within our own race? Ralph, what do you think about that one?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it started, obviously, you know, in in slavery and whatnot. And then it carried over to after, you know, after everything was abolished and all that. And then you can start looking at more modern type of examples, like a Hollywood example, right? Like Dorothy Dandridge and what's my man, Harry Belafonte.
Yeah,
phenomenal talents, right? But they were light-skinned. So they were pushed forward, like even in their limited roles, even in the roles that they were offered, they were limited, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. Like there could have been other actresses and actors that were, you know, of darker skin that were allowed to flourish. But since, you know, they were fairer skin, they were, you know, more acceptable to the masses. So that treatment of fairer skinned people have always, you know, has always been prevalent. And it still kind of goes on to this day, even right now.
Absolutely. I agree with that one 100%. AJ, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of hit it. You know what I'm saying? I remember hearing people talking about the lighter you are, the closer you were to the house, and the darker you are, the further away you were, you know, in the field or whatever. So I can definitely see those seeds. It's hard to feel things that we believe are, you know, is just carried in our DNA. It's kind of like sitting at the back of the bus. It's just like most kids, first thing they do when they get on the bus, they want to go to the most, you know, most of our kids look like us. They want to go to the back of the bus. When they come in the classroom, they want to go sit at the back of the class. And it's like, why is everybody sitting at the back when we fought to be at the front? And it's like, man, is this just something that's in our DNA? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's hard to just say, oh, that's where it started, and then that mentality just carried on until current times. I mean, but again, it's hard to argue for or against that. So I don't know necessarily. That's kind of what I think about that.
All right, I feel you on that one, Bree.
Well, I agree with everybody else. But I also think that it's an environmental thing. It's how you grew up. You know, if you're always getting on the bus with your parents and they're always going to the back of the bus, when you start riding the bus by yourself, you're going to go to the back of the bus. If you see people that look like you in the back of the bus, that's what you're going to do. You know, it's almost like you have to follow suit. And I think that there's some people that, that experience that and don't know how to break it. So I think that's why it's such a continued pattern and why we see it so much today. And it's going to continue until we learn to break away from the things of our past that are not going to help us move forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Johnny?
I definitely agree with everybody else. It definitely started during slavery. And to Bree's point, like, it's definitely an environmental thing, because just like I feel like racism is learned. I think colorism is learned as well. Like, when you have parents and grandparents that call darker skinned people ugly or things like that, when they are in fact beautiful, they, you know, children, teenagers, they pick up on that, and that's something that they hold in themselves, and they don't even realize that's something that they're learning, and then they themselves take that on, and throughout their life they continue to do the same thing. Oh, that dark skinned person isn't beautiful, or, you know, something like that. So it's definitely still a thing today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know. One of my favorite movies of all time is a movie called Imitation of Life. I don't know if anyone on this panel has seen it. It's a movie about a young lady, a girl who can pass as white because her father was white. Her mother was black, and she was kind of ashamed to admit that she was black. And like I said, check it out. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. But that brings me to the Jim Crow era. And that is when passing as white, light-skinned people passing as white, were afforded better chances at education, equal pay, financial stability, and as well as being safe amongst the community. And so, I mean, we kind of already touched on that based off our answers on the last one. So, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that one. But as far as, like, community wise, like, have you ever felt that you may have been safer if you were fairer skin or darker skin? What's up, AJ?
I hate to cut in on you, but before you move forward with that, mm-hmm. So just to kind of piggyback off of what Johnny was saying real quick, do any of you believe that it's passed down? So that thought, that image, that assumption has just been passed down, like somebody was dark skinned from slavery and they didn't tell their kids that they were beautiful, and their kids didn't tell their kids that they were beautiful. And then on the other side, the light skinned folks was like, oh, you're beautiful. They heard it. And that, like, do y'all think that was passed down? Did y'all feel that? Did y'all hear that from y'all parents? Like, as far as, like, if you were light or dark, I mean,
I definitely think it's passed down. Absolutely. Because if you get told one thing, you don't know anything other than that, especially when you're young and it's taught to you at a very young age. My daughter mimics every single thing I do. I'm pretty sure she curses. So it's like, you know, you really have to watch the things that you say and the things that you tell your children, because they're not going to know anything other than what you tell them. That's their first perception in life. So if I sit here and I tell her, oh, because you're light skinned, you're beautiful, you're gonna, you know, you're gonna excel in life and da 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 da.
Right.
That's how she's gonna carry herself. Yep. When, mm-hmm. matter of fact, she's going to excel because she's smart as hell. Like, it has nothing to do with your color. You know, there's light skinned people out here who rather sit on the corner and shoot up with coke than to go get a job. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you really never know. It really is a passed down thing, and it's environmental.
I agree 100%.
Yeah,
I agree too. Like, I would say I've never experienced that personally, but I can see, you know, that happening.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Bree nailed it for all of us. I have nothing to add on that one. But yeah, I mean, and that is a topic that we have today, and we can go right into that, and we'll come back to the Jim Crow thing. But the perception of beauty, and I wanted to put this on there because, you know, you have people who are actively now, you know, doing the Sammy Sosa where they're completely lightening up their skin. But
that shit is so trash. Like,
but even more so than that, like, people who aren't doing it themselves. Like, I mean, I think it was a People magazine cover that was caught making Beyonce even lighter than what she is. So like the perception of beauty being wrapped around a pigmentation. What do you guys think about that? Like, is do you guys tie beauty at all? And I'll start this one off. Let me tell my personal story. And this is something that I've realized recently, and Bree's been there to witness it. Me get called out about it, is that I admit it at some point in my life, I judged darker skinned women by a different set of standards that I judge lighter skinned women with. And that's just me admitting my own biases and my ignorance at one point in life. Like, that was just me admitting it. It took for me, my daughter, my younger daughter is much darker than the rest of our family, but she has the prettiest skin in it, like the clearest skin that you'll ever see. But it took
most dark people do.
Exactly. Absolutely. But it took for me personally to have a darker complected child for me to realize, like, what have you been doing? Like, look at what you've been doing now. I mean, if my daughter was to hear me say some of the things that I said coming up, she would like shit. And my daughter's the most beautiful person on this planet. So it made me realize some of my own biases and what maybe I did and didn't realize I was doing it at my earlier point in life. And this is recently. I'm 31 years old and I'm just recently coming to these realizations. So that's just my personal story on this. But what have you guys experienced anything like that? And what do you think about beautification being wrapped around lighter skin? Johnny, coming to you first.
Well, I kind of had somewhat of a similar situation. I remember in college, I was hanging out with a friend of mine, a lady friend, and we were watching TV. And I think it might have been Gabrielle Union or somebody that was on TV who was a darker skinned celebrity woman. And I was like, I love Gabrielle Union. She's beautiful for a dark skinned person. And she called me out on it.
Yeah.
That was the first time I had ever been called out on that. And that made me, you know, it made me think, like, why would I say that? And I guess then I realized that I did put a different type of standard on darker skinned women than I did lighter skinned women. And ever since that day, I've definitely changed my mindset, because dark skinned women are beautiful. Even now, like, I feel like darker skin, well, because I'm darker skinned too, but darker skinned women, there's just a lot of dark skinned pretty women. All dark skinned women are pretty. So it's something I was called out on, and it definitely changed my mindset that day. So shout out to my homie Jaleesa if she listening.
That's what's up, AJ.
I don't know about all, Johnny. I don't know about all.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying, man.
Say, look, there's some ugly babies. I'm sorry. There's some ugly people in the world. I mean, I think everybody, you know, it's somebody for everybody, but it's some ugly folks. Somebody might think I'm ugly. You know, I might think I'm the sexiest man alive. It's okay. It's okay to be ugly. Embrace your ugly. It's fine. As far as perception, I kind of had to think about this. So personally, I've always been attracted to light skinned girls. I always got like this perfect image in my mind, but it was not something that was told to me or sold to me, in my opinion. It was something that I saw just looking around. I liked shoulder length hair, high yellow bone, nice body, like that was my image. But as I got older, I realized that even though that probably was my like perfect girl or whatever, I really like all types of girls. You know what I'm saying? I just like pretty girls. I like stuck up girls, unfortunately, but I like pretty girls. It don't matter if they dark skin, light skin. When I got to college, it didn't matter. I was talking to whoever was the baddest girl, brown skin, dark skin, light skin. So for me personally, that just wasn't my thing. I just chose or whatever, but it didn't really matter what her color was. I think, yes, all different shades of black women are beautiful. Black women are my preference in the world. Like, I feel like black women are the most beautiful women in the world, hands down, no competition, like number one. And in my mind, it's almost proven. If you just look at all the different areas in the diaspora, I mean, it's just like we really ain't got no competition in that area. So for me, it's not necessarily like that. But what I would say as far as society, of course, you know, you talk about the images that are pushed in magazines, the images that are pushed in movies, the images that are pushed on TV. Clearly, there's a difference between, you know, light skin and dark skin, how the dark skin girls dress versus how the light skin girls dress, how this girl's attitude is versus how this girl's attitude is. So obviously, you know, a perception and a certain stigma exists.
Yeah, I definitely feel that, Ralph.
Oh man, I had to follow AJ, man. That was a word you said. I definitely agree. Like I just feel like when you grow up, you kind of have this perception of what you think perfect is. And I think it was kind of ingrained in us. And I'm not sure where I picked this up from, that you had to have a light skinned girl. The light skinned chicks were all the pretty girls in the class. So those were the ones you kind of paid attention to. And honestly, the fat chubby boy in class was not getting play from no light skinned chick. I'll tell you that right now. Like that was not happening, right? So I think as you just grow older and you mature and you have different life experiences, you see that all women are beautiful, no matter the shade, right? And like AJ was saying, like black women are beautiful. Like though, like I'm rocking with my black women, and regardless of if you know they're light skinned, fair skinned, you know, chocolate, caramel, you know, dark, whatever, I'm rocking with them. And I just think images were always pumped into you. Get the light-skinned chick, long hair, whatever, right? As you, like now, you can look at CoverGirl and they have an array of women. And I'm talking about, like, dark-skinned women that are very, very, very beautiful, right? So it's just, that's, I'm glad things have changed and you can kind of see everybody for who they are rather than just honing in on like a skin pigmentation.
Yeah, I feel that 100%. Brie, as the only woman on the panel, what do you think about the perception of beauty and how it pertains to the pigment of your skin?
Well, I think a lot of women's attitudes or insecurity within the way that they look would be, if not all the way gone, but slightly diminished if the whole phrase, you look good for a light skinned girl or a dark skinned girl, and this coming from men and women. I think if that phrase just never existed, this whole light skin versus dark skin thing amongst women probably would not exist. I mean, we'd probably find other things to be pissed about, but, you know, the color thing would not be an issue.
Yeah.
But as everybody was talking, it kind of reminded me of the movie Dreamgirls, where Beyonce and Jennifer Hudson played it. So in their group before they got signed, Jennifer Hudson was the lead. Once they got signed and, you know, record deals and all that stuff started coming up, they wanted to change the image and have Beyonce be the leader because she was softer spoken. She was more attractive to the audience that they wanted to get. And I think that that right there is a prime example of what women go through almost every day. You know, sometimes you don't want to be friends with that skin girl because you're scared you're going to be overlooked. Or light skin girls want to be friends with the dark skin girls because they think of themselves as the center of attention. And it's like, oh, well, my friends over there, you know, it is what it is. But I think that, you know, it all goes back to your environment. You know, the media feeds off of people doing their YouTube videos about lightening their skin and getting in the tub and bleach and all that shit. They feed off of that. So to them, to sell more magazines, to sell more clothing, to do whatever, to sell more makeup, their front runners are fair, light-skinned girls or white girls. That's just what it is. You know how hard it is to go find makeup that matches your skin tone when you're not light-skinned?
I just, like, realized that once Rihanna came out with her line. Like, clearly, I don't know because I don't wear makeup, but, like, I didn't know, like, that was an issue. Like, I had no idea. No idea at all.
It is very much an issue.
That's crazy.
It's either too yellow or it's too red or it's too whatever. It never matches your skin. So a lot of people go for the lighter foundation or the lighter makeup, and it looks crazy on them because it doesn't match. But it makes them feel good about themselves when they go in public because they're looking at, like, okay, well, she's not dark skinned. She's, you know, she's a little lighter than that. Yes. So she's okay.
This is a sidebar, and I hope this is okay, CEO, but am I the only one here that feels like black women don't really need makeup?
I was just about to say that, but I didn't know how to say it.
Listen.
I was about to say that. I don't make it for y'all.
Listen, like, when I say, on average, and this is, and some people do because they have imperfections in their complexion, but black women That melanin, black don't crack. Like, I don't understand it. And I don't want to put you on the spot, Bree, because you're the only woman on the panel. This is why I wanted to have more women. But what do you think about that? What do you think about the fact that a lot, I mean, you have black men on this panel. I mean, me, Ralph, Johnny, AJ hasn't chimed in, but that feel like our women don't need makeup. What do you think when you hear that?
Well, for me personally, I grew up as the ugly duckling. Okay. I had acne when I was in the fifth grade. Nobody liked me. I didn't know how to do my hair, like nothing. I got to sixth grade and I realized that girls were shaving their legs. And I'm like, well, shit, I'm behind the bar. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to try this shit out at home. But obviously that didn't work out. But you know, you see people around you as beautiful. When you're an ugly duckling, that's all you want to be. You want to be beautiful to someone. And it's one thing to be beautiful to your parents. Your parents have to like you. They have to love you, whatever. But when you go out in public and, like, especially at that puberty age where you want to date, you want to hang out with a boy, you want to be beautiful. You want to feel beautiful. And the reason why I wear makeup is because I have acne scars that I don't like. It is what it is, you know? But obviously there are things that you can do, face scrub, things like that, that you can use on your skin to help those dark marks. Mm-hmm. But not everyone wants to take the time to do that because it's a process. So yeah, why not just throw on some makeup, make your skin look flawless, and have that confidence that you always wanted? Makeup is a confidence booster. That's what that it is, period. And look, if I didn't have to spend money on makeup, I would not do it. I hate it. It takes me forever to find makeup. So if I didn't have to wear it, I wouldn't do it. And for all the people, and I obviously, I do think that women should not wear makeup. The shit gets on everything. So,
facts.
Yeah. Like, you know, if, like I said, if I didn't have to wear makeup, I wouldn't do it. But for me, I don't want to. It's an insecurity. So,
Brie, I think you're, your sound's going out a little bit there.
Oh, my bad. My phone's dying a little bit.
But and by the way, shout out to Bree with the hold on AJ, I gotta give shouts out to Bree with the black lipstick. Everyone go to our IG, check that out. Bree with the black lipstick. But I knew AJ was gonna have something to say. Go ahead, AJ.
Listen, first of all, I think Alicia Keys need to put some makeup back on. I'm sorry. So,
tripping.
Let me just be clear. Let me go ahead and jump out the window.
Wait, what? Hey, that Proactor ain't working, cuz.
Y'all wilding.
See her face? I don't. Ooh, sound like I'm bashing. I'm bashing, and I'm really not. But her face.
Listen, I'm gonna tread lightly on this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, shut up.
So I just wanted to go ahead and throw that out there. As far as saying all black women don't need, I don't necessarily know about that. And I kind of agree with Bree as far as like, I'm okay with, again, you know, scars and stuff. Obviously, I'm not even going to question that. You know what I mean? If you have any type of, you know, scars or blemishes and things of that nature, I understand completely. I think a little makeup is okay. Not a lot. That's my problem, is when it's a lot. You know what I mean? If you're just putting a little bit on to accentuate your beauty, that's fine. Me personally, I always go for natural woman. Like, even with my wife, I wanted to see her without her makeup. You know what I mean? And I'm okay with her with it on or whatever, but it's just like, I wanted to see the real person. Even in the past, when I dated girls, I was like, can I see you without this weave in? Can I see you without this makeup on? Like, I just want to see you. You may look like a whole different person. So it's like, I want to know who I'm dealing with. And if we wake up in the morning, I'm not sitting here jumping up out the bed because I'm like, damn, what happened? So so I think, man, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? I think it's, you know, it's okay, in my opinion. I just don't want black women to overdo it or whatever. I'll just leave it at that.
I feel you on that. So, I mean, I want to give a shout out while we're talking about skin imperfection stuff. Winnie Harlow, who is the model with Vertiligo.
I love
it. Yeah.
Beautiful. beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to give shouts out to that Googler if you don't know who that is. But let's talk about the skin bleaching epidemic. I know I mentioned it earlier, but I'm looking at a list here of celebrities who've bleached their skin. Of course, Sammy Sosa was just the obvious one because he went from Wesley Snipes to Michael Jackson overnight. we got Little Kim, Charmaine the God. Let's mention out the men who do it as well. Like, what do you guys think about the whole bleaching your skin? Bree, come to you back first on this one. What do you think about the bleaching of the skin?
Why you gotta come to me first?
Cause I got you, man.
Honestly, I don't even understand the purpose of it. Like, what is the point of bleaching your skin? Is there a point? Like, you're just gonna be a shade lighter than what you naturally are? Like, is it worth sitting in a tub and letting chemicals seep into your skin like that? To me, I don't think it's worth it. And I don't see the point at all. And Lil Kim looks fucking crazy.
She do.
Okay. Man.
Listen, at one point she looked Chinese, now she look white. It's weird. I don't know what's happening.
She looked like an accident. That's what she looks like.
I always said Lil Kim was the dude that made Gangnam Style. I was like, what? I got him in the same room together. So,
I swear to God. Kim gonna kill all y'all.
Hey, man, she knows she messed herself up, man. I'm saying.
But she was beautiful before.
She was gorgeous. Like, she did not need to do, even with the big nose, she did not need to do all that, man.
Yeah, but in the 90s, she wasn't pretty. In the 90s, that was not pretty. That was not what people would have called pretty. So I thought about, man, I took a lot of time on thinking about that, about Lil' Kim. Like, damn, she did all of this because she thought something and whatever image she had in her head. And it's like now everybody look back and be like, what? Why did you even do that to begin with? But she didn't feel that way. You know, it just, she wasn't getting that type of love in the 90s. And it's like, damn, now you can't go back. You already made all these different changes.
Little Kim looks like Chucky now. That's exactly who she looks like.
Yeah,
like,
she looks
like, no, Chucky, she looks like the bride of Chucky.
Exactly.
Or is that what you meant?
Yeah, I mean, they look the same to me, but I'm not finna get murdered on Twitter. So we're gonna move on,
man.
from Little Kim. We're gonna move on from Little Kim hate.
I chime in real quick. So the bleaching, you know, of course, I mean, you know, Michael Jackson, obviously, you know what I mean? Just, you know, black, white, you know what I mean? So it's like Mike went through, you know, whatever he went through. I would never do it. I don't really understand. Sammy Sosa is an extreme case. I'm not even, I'm throwing Sammy Sosa out of here. Get him the fuck out of here, man. Like, nah, he out. Like, come on. So I don't, man, the whole skin lightening, you know what's so funny? You know, I'll just say a quick story about my uncle. So my uncle had these, spots. And he had to get the cream so that his skin would blend. So, like, he literally needed, and that didn't make him light skin. It just blended his brown skin because he had these spots. I forget whatever skin condition he had, but he went to a dermatologist. Like, it was a legitimate thing. So, if it's a legitimate thing, I get it. I understand. It makes sense. If it's not, I really don't know what's your frame of mind to even make you want to undergo something like that. This ain't nothing. You know, people do tanning, obviously. You know, white people do tanning, which, you know, some people may say they're doing it because they want to be darker, they want to look black. So it's just like, I don't really understand the mentality with skin lightening and even people who are tanning.
I can understand that. Anything anybody want to add to that?
I mean, well, like AJ was saying, that's the only reason why Charlamagne's situation actually makes sense, because he had those dark patches underneath his eyes. And now everything's kind of blended, but I thought he put on makeup for the longest, though. I didn't think he actually did anything.
let's flip it. I mean, we've talked a lot about how light-skinned people may have been more privileged. That's why I kind of titled this one, I sent to everybody, The Perceived Light-Skin Privilege. But, I mean, talking about it and us discussing it here, there's definitely things that light-skinned people have been afforded, maybe that dark-skinned people haven't. But I want to talk about, because I know we've all made it. I made it, and I'm lighter-skinned. We've all made the Drake jokes. We all know the Drake condition about being light-skinned, being soft. Like, I anytime my son starts whining, I say, you're Draking right now. So, I mean, But I mean, that's something. I mean, seriously, in putting this podcast together and thinking about it, that's something that it's still colorism. And do we need to cut that out? What do you guys think about how us amongst the black community make jokes about light-skinned dudes being softer? We've all made the Prince jokes. We all seen the Dave Chappelle skits. Ralph, what do you think?
What? I was about to say, I could start naming a whole bunch of light-skinned dudes Chris Brown, Drake, who else? Tiger. Like, these are all light-skinned dudes that just do corny stuff. Like,
Bobby Brown did it first, though. he definitely isn't light. There ain't nothing light about Bobby Brown except his teeth.
The king of R&B, rough and black.
Do we count Meek Mill?
Oh, yeah, I mean... Nah. Mm. Yeah, Bill had two. He had a year and a half of straight L's and feelings.
You got to think
about Drake's it. Drake's been like this since he came out, though. Like, I don't think really like
that nigga stay crying. Okay,
yeah, yeah, facts. Yeah. Like, since but 2008, that's almost 10 years of Drake. Like, think
he
about this.
Raspy when he got shot and was rolling around in that fucking wheelchair. Okay, oh, no. This has been going on for a long time.
But I mean, yeah, just in the spirit of this discussion, I mean, even if it's true, is it colorism by us making those jokes and saying that? Like, what do you think about that?
True. Yes,
man, that ain't true, man. That's some made up stuff, man. I don't believe. I think it's funny. Listen, I'm all for everybody getting these jokes off until somebody get offended. But you know, some people say that's the best joke. You know what I mean? Because you're going to be offended. We're going to laugh at all the jokes that's about somebody else. But once one of them hit us, then we like, you're going too far now, brother. You're going too far. So I'm okay with the jokes. I don't think none of that stuff is true. You know what I mean? At least for the guys I know in my immediate surroundings, I can't speak for every guy around the world, but we don't really take them hard. And I think, you know, light-skinned guys, we do maybe sometimes we try to prove ourselves like we ain't, like, don't try to play with us, like, you know, just because we ain't dark-skinned and, you know, so on and so forth. But all that stuff to me is jokes, you know what I'm saying? I don't really feel like I ain't finna be like, oh, it's gotta stop. Like, we got to stop this. Only when it's white people and other races that's jumping in on the light skin versus dark skin, then I feel some type of way. As far as black folks, we've been ranking. Ranking is our, ranking, scoring, whatever you want to call it. We've been doing that. Like, that's like a rite of passage.
Yeah, it's true.
That's why I had no sympathy for Keaton.
Oh, listen.
Not one. Amen. I was. Oh, well, buddy.
I don't think we really want to get into it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just throw that in there.
Bree, what do you think about the stereotype of light skinned men? And is it, I mean, light skinned people in general, is it wrong on the flip side for us to categorize light skinned people as one thing? Since you know you deny your light skinnedness, but continue.
I'm not light skinned, but I mean, I get it. It this all goes back to environmental, what you surround yourself with. Like, at the end of the day, if, like, okay, personally, I've only ever dated 3 light-skinned guys in my entire life. They're not my cup of tea, but the dude I'm with now, best fucking tea I've ever tasted in my life. All right? But come on.
So, hold on. What are you saying that the dude you with now is dark? Hold on. I lost. No. You lost me. You said light-skinned, then you didn't really clarify the tea that you're sipping right now.
The guy I'm with.
She tried to skate over that. Like,
we need some type
I'm
of
not gonna lie
too.
I was like,
no, the guy I'm with now is light skinned. He is very light. Okay. He is.
Is he the lightest?
He's black and Puerto Rican. And he's got the lighter Puerto Rican in him. Okay. But he's great. He's fantastic. But he's like Drake sometimes. And, you know, I think it, you know, growing up, it really is what you surround yourself with. And if everybody around you is making fun of the light skinned nigga because he cries and he bitches about everything, then the next light skinned nigga you come across that cries or bitches about something, you gonna say he's Drake. And the same goes for, say, dark skinned dudes. If you grew up watching Blair Underwood be the man beater in every fucking movie he plays in, then you gonna think dark skinned dudes or brown skinned dudes are the same way. But obviously that's not the case. You know what I mean? Like, you really gotta separate. You got to separate that kind of stuff.
Bree, I got a quick follow up. I'm sorry. I got so you said earlier that I think you said you grew up in the suburbs. I think you said you went to maybe predominantly white schools. So were you when you say your environment? So were you attracted naturally to white guys in that case, or were
No.
I mean, because you keep referencing environment, so I would, you know what I mean? I'm just making a parallel to, wouldn't that necessarily say that you should be attracted to white guys?
Well,
dun, dun, dun.
Environment. I had to think about it. Don't do that. Environmentally, looking at it from the outside in, yes, you would say I would be attracted to white men or light skinned men. But I separated that. It's not my environment. I'm attracted to who I'm attracted to. And a predominant chunk of my life, I dated dark skinned men because I found them very, very attractive. But that's me. I can't speak for everybody. I can't speak.
I love y'all women. I was just talking about this. If I could get a dollar for every time women will make a generalization and then they get real specific. Like, look, I know I was talking about everybody, but now, to be honest, I'm really just talking about me. I can't speak. Lord, y'all. Anyway, I'm gonna be quiet.
But we're women. We flip flop all the time, so it is what it is.
I'm saving that sound clip, and I swear to God, I'm playing that every single time a woman says something.
Please do.
I'm so glad you said that.
Whatever. All right, next topic. Let's go.
All right. So, let's talk about the impact of skin tone on the family dynamic. And that's within our own families. For those of us who do have lighter skin members of our family versus darker skin members of the family, do you guys see a difference in how they're treated amongst your own family? Johnny, just because of your face, I got to come to you first on this one, because you're definitely in deep thought over there. What do you think?
I'm trying to think. So, like, my dad's side of the family, we're all dark. So I can't really. It's interesting because so the majority of us on my dad's side of the family are dark. My younger sister, she's lighter. I have a couple cousins that are lighter. But for some odd reason, they would always talk about me being dark. It was weird. Like, but y'all dark too? I don't know. It was weird. But I mean, I never let it affect me or anything like that. I mean, you know. We were, you know, playing in dozens. We was joning all the time. So, you know, it was what it was. On my mom's side of the family, I think I may be the darkest person. Like, I think my mom's side of the family is majority light. But I never felt any type of, I never felt like they treated me any differently, you know, because I was dark. I never heard, well, you know, you're dark, so go over there or something like that. I was never treated differently, basically. So, no, I haven't experienced anything like that in my family.
That's what's up. That's what's up. AJ?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've experienced it. My family is it's all shade, so I don't, you know, roasting like you know, like Johnny was saying, you know, right? That was kind of, you know, Joan, and that was natural or whatever. It wasn't where we kind of felt like, oh, these individuals are necessarily separated from these other individuals. My family, for the most part, we're pretty close knit. So personally, no, I didn't really feel it. I didn't necessarily get those jokes like, you know, you little dusty or you little ash, you know, because you would kind of hear that as kids, you know what I mean? Just right. On the playground, you know, it's like the dark skinned kid is ashy and the light skinned kid, you white, what's going on, white boy? You know, oh, now that I think about it, hold up, I lied. My stepdad called me white boy for the majority of my young life, not because of my skin tone, but because of how I acted. Because I was a smart kid, I tried to stay out of the streets. Like how he looked at me, he was the only person that did something like that to where he called me white boy. Now, of course, that used to piss me off because it was like, you know, and again, he a gangster, he a, you know, OG folk and all this other stuff. So, of course, he probably the worst, and it hits the hardest because he is a gangster and he's sitting here talking shit about you. But at the same time, it gave me tough skin. So, I lied. I have experienced it, and it was from my pop. You know, I love him to this day, but he called me white boy for the longest.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's crazy, Ralph.
I would say I haven't experienced that because my family, we're all shades. And honestly, I don't know where my skin pigmentation came from because both of my parents are like caramel. So I never really understood that. And I thought I was adopted for like a long time. Until I really looked at my dad and looked at me, I was like, okay, I do look like him. So maybe, you know, I'm here where I'm supposed to be. It's just interesting. Like I have a few uncles that, you know, we share the same, skin complexion, and my maternal grandmother was like that too. So, but I was never treated any differently or anything like that. I have cousins that are very, very light skin or fair skin or whatnot or what have you. So never really experienced that.
What about you, Bri?
Oh, we can't hear you.
Can't hear you.
My bad. I never experienced it because my two younger siblings are my daughter's complexion. They are very, very light. And my parents are both brown skin. So, you know, growing up, you would think like you said, like, oh, well, maybe they're adopted. Like, where the hell did they come from? Like, they don't look nothing like us. But no, I mean, besides like the regular, you know, regular jokes, regular like, hey, how you doing? You look like shit because you light skin type stuff. you know, it really doesn't happen in my family because my family is very, very, very well blended. We even have some white people in our family. So it goes for every shade. There's nothing like that over here. Not in my family.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to be the one that yes, absolutely in my family. Like, I would say this is that, and I have to admit that I guess I've benefited from the privilege of being a little bit light skinned. My grandmother treats me like I fell out of Jesus's hair, like dead serious. And she treats me like dead, like I'm just God's gift to the family. Always talks about it. But I've noticed that my darker skinned cousins, she loves everybody. But like they don't get the same treatment. Like I can walk in and be like, you didn't make macaroni and cheese? She'd be like, no, but if you want it, I'll make it. My cousins walk in and say, you didn't make macaroni and cheese? Nigga, you better be glad that you eating what you eat, what you eating.
Now, here's the thing, I am
the oldest grandchild as well, so maybe that's what it is more so than the pigmentation of my skin. But I will say this, I'm probably the lightest of all my cousins and everything that are in my age group. Like my sisters are even lighter than me, but of the like eight of us that are in my age group, I'm definitely the lightest probably. So I've always perceived that as maybe it is because of the color of my skin. Because she always talks about like the color of my eyes being light. The fact that I have semi good hair, which I don't have good hair all the way. I just fake it really well. But so I mean, that's something that I've always noticed personally. Yeah. So I mean, I even asked her about it once, and she kind of just brushed it off like, "Well, you know, you my baby," and never really said anything else about it. But I'm like, Granny, you really call everybody else a nigga. You've never called me nigga, not once. So that's just my personal story.
Is your grandma, is she light skin or is she dark skin?
Oh, she's black as coal.
Interesting.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's and like I said, maybe I would have to have her on this podcast, and she doesn't know what the hell the podcast is. She'd be looking at me like I'm crazy. To get her mindset on it. So this is just my interpretation of how she acts, but I definitely have noticed the difference. Like I said, I'm the oldest boy grandchild, so maybe that's what it is, but I notice a difference, so I'm just speaking on it from what I see. Okay. All right, so moving on, we're going to go into our last topic of the day. Here's the last thing that we're going to talk about is what can we do to stop colorism in our community? What's one thing coming from this discussion that you would suggest to someone that we can stop or start the process to stop this colorism? Everyone's looking like I don't want to answer it first. So since I can't see AJ, since I can't see AJ's face, I'm gonna nominate AJ first. What would you suggest, my friend?
Oh man, I think that culture, and we kind of talked about it. We alluded to it earlier. Obviously, things are changing. So you're getting to see and appreciate different shades. You know what I mean? You have a TV show like Blackish, you know, where you have Anthony Anderson and what's Diana Ross' daughter name?
Tracy Ellis Ross.
Yeah, so anyway, you got some light skinned folks, and then you have a you know what I'm saying? You got Issa Rae. And I'm forgetting like all the show names right now.
It's better than you think about.
Yeah. So I mean, you got Issa Rae, and you got all the different shades on there, and then you got Atlanta. You know what I mean? You got Donald Glover, and you got the different shades on there. So I think diversity is going to be the biggest help in that, and really just getting a lot of these different individuals to the forefront. Even a movie like Girls Trip, even a movie like Best Man, Holiday. You know what I mean? Just kind of making sure that we see these different variations, and everybody is mingling. Where you got a Terrence Howard, got a Morris Chestnut, you got a Tay Diggs, you know what I mean? You got all these individuals just kind of in one room together. I think, you know, that helps just, you know, us all being out and in the forefront.
That's what's up, Johnny.
I think it, like, in the Black community, we need to accept no matter the skin tone, we are really all the same. Like, we have to accept the fact that we are literally all the same people. Like, I mean, of course we have differences and like differences in taste of things, but because we look different doesn't mean we are different. And that's something that we all have to accept. And once we get to that point, I think the whole colorism thing will be gone. But it's going to take like an entire generation of people to start that and then start teaching their children so their children can start teaching their children. I think that's the only way it's going to happen.
I definitely can respect that. I feel that.
Story of OJ.
Yeah. You got a good point there. You would mention Jay-Z as I'm about to cut to Ralph. Stop that smiling. That spoken word shit out of here. But go ahead, Ralph.
We'll talk about this later. But in all seriousness, I just think that us, our generation, we know better. So we'll do better by teaching our children how to appreciate all shades of beauty, all shades of Black people, and appreciate the beauty within. Because, you know, like AJ was saying, like with all the, you know, representation across all the entertainment that we can consume, you see all these different shades of Black people being celebrated and championed. And like Issa Rae, like I think she's a shining example of it, because outside of a supermodel, you rarely see like a dark skinned woman like her being like a cover girl model or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that, like a everyday woman like Issa Rae being a cover girl model with her skin complexion. So I think that we just know better. So if I have a son, I'll teach him to value, I mean, son or daughter, but I'm just saying, teach them to value all shades of Black.
That's what's up. Lovely Bree.
I think that, like you said, or like everybody said, it starts with this generation and teaching our children. But I feel like if you don't teach color, your children won't see color. And I think that goes a long way. I see a lot of videos on Facebook and on YouTube and stuff like that where, you know, Black boys, Black girls, and their white best friend are like, well, we want to have the same haircut so that the teacher can't tell us apart. I love that. That shit makes me cry. Yeah. Because I'm like, okay, like their parents don't teach them color. They think that they look that much alike where the teacher won't be able to tell them apart. And I think that's how we need to make sure that our children, not make sure that how they are, but just teach them not to see color. Because if you can't see color, you can't judge somebody on their skin tone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would piggyback off what everybody said, is that it starts with how we're going to teach our kids. Like, we're not the first generation, but I mean, we have so much information at our fingertips with our phones, with technology, that we don't have that same excuse of being ignorant or not being able to show our kids or give them examples of stuff. Like, we have so many examples of beauty that we can literally pull up on our phone of all skin complexions, all races. And we should be educating our kids on that. Like, let's stop seeing race. And it's going to take a long time before we get there, but you have to start somewhere. And I definitely think, like I said, sharing my personal story with my daughter earlier, is that it starts there, letting everyone know, regardless of their complexion, you're beautiful. So your complexion shouldn't even be a factor in how beautiful you feel or you think you are. So let's keep that going. And, you know, I don't like to be on a high horse just because I have a podcast, but if even one person hears this and tries to, change the way that they talk about color or whatever, then that's what we were here for. That's hopefully what we've been able to do here. But as we get ready to close, you know, I got to give everybody a chance to plug all their stuff and tell people where to find them. The boys from Oversaturated, since you guys are our package deal, and also my brothers, Ralph, Johnny, tell the people where they can find you.
You got a Johnny, or?
I take it.
Okay.
All right. So, we are Oversaturated, the podcast where we discuss music, movies, and pop culture. You can check out our website, oversatthepod.com. It has all of our episodes on there, and you can follow me personally on Twitter at JON2_B.
You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, The Mind of Ralph, Snapchat, everything lit, The Mind of Ralph.
Stealing water from work daily.
Hey, man. Hey, get it how you live, man. Hey,
if it's free, man, why not?
AJ, tell the people where they can find you, AJ.
Instagram, Twitter. It's pretty much where you're gonna find me. What we gonna do pod. Exactly how you think it's spelled. What we gonna G-O-N-E do pod. P-O-D. And you know, pretty much look, I'm talking about real stuff. I'm a real person. I'm trying to get people away from this reality TV stuff. It's like, I remember when Real World first came out, and I say, damn, they ain't got one real black dude that's ever been on this damn show. So I'm trying to be that real black dude that's talking about my experiences, what I'm dealing with my wife, with my daughter, what I've experienced growing up. That's what my podcast is about.
Facts.
Oh man, I just imagine AJ is just like, one of these days somebody's gonna listen to this podcast and try to reach out to him on Twitter. He's gonna be like, nigga, like, really?
Depends on what day they catch me on. Just depends. Some days I'm AJ, and then, you know, I'm like professional and all this. Some days I'm just like, all right, what's up?
And then for the first time podcaster, who we're gonna have to talk, because she may start becoming a permanent fixture on the Awakened Soul. But
forward.
Oh yeah, yeah. You've been drafted. But tell the people where they can find you, Brie.
Well, you can just find me on Instagram. It's Miss MISS2_Berry BERRY. And that's it. I mean, just a regular Philly girl who got love for her boys, the Philadelphia Eagles, who are top of the NFL right now, going something for that number shit. One seed this week.
Talk about that out there.
Check that black lipstick.
But your man's dirt, though. Like, how we gonna do this? Like,
See, everybody keep forgetting that Nick Foles threw for 27 touchdowns the season that he was a starter. Let's not do this. Let's not do that.
I don't care.
She ready. I'm telling you. Don't come. Don't come.
Look.
My daughter's asleep. Look. Bring him back. We could talk football for 2 hours. Oh, that's fine.
Hey, what's up with all that?
Nick Foles is the backup for a reason. Let's be clear, but all right.
He's the best backup. Let's get that clear.
Oh man, let's not forget that Tom Brady started off as a backup, and look at what happened. But I'm just saying.
But this is Nick Foles, though. Like,
Foles has been the backup before. This was his second.
Don't ever be that blasphemous and put that man's name in the same Tom Brady again.
That's a fact.
Y'all wild. I ain't ready to talk football tonight because my fantasy league is on the line this week. So I gotta make it through the week first. Then we can come back and talk football next week or something.
Facts.
That exit came out.
You guys already know. You can follow me at CEO Hayes. That's CEOHAIZE. Or you can also contact The Awakened Soul at theawakenedsoulpod@gmail.com. Thank you guys for listening. Thank all the guests for being able to join this panel. Dope conversation. Let me know what you guys think about it. Check out all their social media and podcasts, those who have it. And be on the lookout for Brie on The Awakened Soul. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, peace. I'm gonna
the slave in you and me. Can't drink water from the same fountain, you see. Ideology of Western humanity, zoom. Follow me and James Brown style, pink caddy. Traveling Godspeed and to the left of me.
The Awakened Soul, a podcast brought to you from the mind of CEO Hayes.